of the Boundless Audio Podcast Network.
It's like making sure your cup is full, right, in order to be able to provide for the rest of your family. If you're not full, if you're not happy, then you're not going to be able to, you know, be 100% for your family.
Right.
So, you know, it's realizing that.
Welcome to the Awkward Mom Stage Podcast. Grab yourself a glass of water or wine, whichever suits your day, and get ready, because the Awkward Mom Stage starts now.
Hey, y'all, and welcome back to the podcast. If you're new here, hi, hello, and welcome. I'm Lola, and I'm so glad you're here. In today's episode, I'm talking to Lanisha Gibson. She's a life coach and mom of three, and she's teaching women how to do away with mom guilt and prioritize self-care. As I say, you got to put your oxygen mask on first, and Lanisha agrees. I'm so excited for you to listen to the episode and learn how to find time to fill up your cup. So let's get into my conversation with life coach Lanisha Gibson.
Hi, Lanisha. Thank you so much for being here today. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me.
Awesome. I'm so glad you were here and able to chat with me today. I always give a little intro at the beginning of the episode for my guests, just a little short intro to everyone to introduce them into the conversation. But I like at the beginning of the show to have my guests do a full introduction of themselves to give a better backstory.
Okay.
So, please, if you will, go ahead and tell us who you are, what you do, and how you got started.
Yes. So I am Lanisha Gibson. I am a certified life coach. I basically help women, primarily moms, who give so much of themselves. They're doing everything for their children, their families, work, everything else. They wear so many hats a lot of times, but a lot of times their goals and their dreams get pushed to the back burner. So I help women realize that they're actually able to, you know, live the type of life that they want. They can go after their goals. I help them achieve their goals, help them rediscover who they are outside of motherhood and being a wife and an employee and all the different hats that we wear. And I just basically help them design the life that they, you know, want to live and, you know, become the best versions of themselves. In terms of how I became a life coach, my background is actually in public relations. So my sole responsibility in public relations was to basically help CEOs, celebrities, authors, all these different, you know, people, executives appear to be, you know, well-polished. You make sure that they're well-liked, you know, so they can buy whatever it is that they're, you know, selling at the time, whatever brand it is that they work for.
Right.
I'm helping them appear to be this put together, you know, well-liked, you know, like I said, polished, kind of perfect person. But regardless of how they are on the inside, right? Regardless of how they actually, their personalities actually were, how they actually felt on the inside, that was just my job to make sure they looked a certain way.
Right.
And I actually wanted to have more influence on how people actually felt, how they operated, how they were on the inside versus just making somebody look good and they actually, you know, are really sad on the inside or, you know, whatever it may be. So that's kind of how I warped my way into life coaching. I kind of, you know, tried to figure out like what would be a better use of what I thought my skills were, you know, what I thought my knowledge was. And, you know, after looking into it, life coaching was kind of, you know, the best fit for me.
That's awesome. Now, aside from being a woman in business, you're also a mom of three. So yeah. How do you balance work and mom life?
Yes. So the balance is not always easy. It can absolutely be done. I tell a lot of my clients because they have mom guilt, right? So it's like if they put their, you know, needs and their wants and dreams, you know, make them a priority, then they feel guilty because they feel like they're not necessarily showing up for their families.
Right.
So for me, I realized a little while ago that it's absolutely doable to do it all, right? Like you can make sure your kids are happy and they have what they need. If you're married, you can make sure your spouses are happy and, you know, support them in their businesses and their careers and still, you know, make sure you're, you know, doing what you, you know, need to do for yourself. It's like making sure your cup is full, right, in order to be able to provide for the rest of your family. If you're not full, if you're not happy, then you're not going to be able to, you know, be 100% for your family.
Right.
So, you know, it's realizing that it's, like I said, it's not necessarily the easiest thing. I would say the first thing moms need to do is to recognize, that we have 100% to give, right? Like we're made up of 100% of whatever you want to call it. We have 100% to give to our families, to work, if we have businesses, you know, to our children, for if we have any sort of social life, like we have 100%. So I think the first thing is for moms to realize that we're not going to be perfect, right? I think a lot of times we feel like we have to be perfect again, or we feel guilty if we're not, you know, let's say we work a 10-hour day, right? At work, or business work, whatever it is, we work a 10-hour day. We're exhausted by the time we get home. So it's okay if you don't cook, you know, like a full course meal for your kids, you know what I mean? Or for your family. And I think a lot of times, you know, we feel like that's our role. That's what we're supposed to do, right? Even if we're working all day, we're still supposed to come home and like fix this, you know, huge meal for our kids or for our families. So I think the first most important thing is to understand that we have 100% to give. So it's not going to be perfect around the board. We're spread so thin a lot of times already. And so, you know, don't aim for perfection. I say aim for progress, right? Like as long as we're giving all we have to give, right? We're doing our best, you know, at home, at work, whatever it is, as long as we're doing our best and understanding that that's more than enough, then I think that helps, you know, moms and women in general, like understand that that's fine. It's perfect. It's good.
Yeah, I think mom guilt is like the biggest thing that moms deal with, because it doesn't matter what you're, it didn't matter what I was doing, whether I was like going to Target or it was like just 5 minutes to myself, there was always like a little twinge of like, oh, well, you're mom, so you should probably be doing something that mom would be doing. So it's always like in the back of your mind, that thing that's like, should you be doing this? Are you a good mom now? Because you're taking that 5 minutes to yourself. And it's like, yes, you're still a good mom. Absolutely. You take 5 minutes to yourself. You have to put your oxygen mask on first. I always say that. Like
I do too.
They tell you that in airplanes, and they tell you that for a reason. You can't help everyone else if you're depleted.
That's right. That's absolutely right. That's why I was saying, like, you need to make sure your cup is full before you're able to, like, you know, provide and give that back to your family. So absolutely. Yeah. So I, like I said, recognize your dreams, recognize that it's okay for you to do what you need to do to make sure you're okay, right? Like, so self-care for yourself, make sure, you know, you're operating at 100% or the best you can at any given day, so you're able to give that back to your family. So 100% agree.
All right. Now, you're an entrepreneur because you have your life coaching and your clients, and you also have your, you know, mom life, your family life. What does a typical day look like for you?
So, it kind of varies. So a lot of times my day either starts between 8 and 9 a.m. Right now it's summer, so my kids are still asleep at that time, so I don't have to worry about necessarily like rushing to get them breakfast and stuff before my 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock sessions. But typically I have, you know, like I said, start at 8 or 9 o'clock, do those sessions. They're an hour long. So I'll do those sessions, and then probably around, I try to give myself, so the good part about me being an entrepreneur is I can kind of set my own schedule, and that works perfectly, especially like I said, right now, because my kids are home for summer, and when they're in school, it's a little bit easier just because, you know, they're gone for the majority of the day, so I can kind of just do what I need to do. But during the summer, I try to give myself, you know, at least like an hour or two breaks in between my sessions, so that I can make sure, you know, I'm doing what they need. So fixing them breakfast in the morning. So after my, not they sleep kind of late. So after my 9 o'clock, you know, like I said, they're an hour. So around 10:30, I'll fix them breakfast, and then I'll probably do another session or do some work. If I don't have a session right away, I'll do some, you know, some more work, like dealing with my CRMs or whatever that is. And then a couple hours later, fix them lunch. Like I said, if I don't have sessions all day, again, I kind of schedule my clientele, you know, just kind of based on what I need to do that day, then I'll just get some other work done. Again, making sure I'm checking on them. I give them sometimes assignments to do, just some fun stuff, but just making sure they're productive. So they're not just on their, you know, video games and watching YouTube and stuff all day. And that's, you know, in the evening, you know, I will cook. My husband actually is a really good cook as well. So I'm lucky in that way that he'll, you know, sometimes cook the meals. We'll try to like maybe do like family time. So we'll do like a movie night in the evenings, or, you know, sometimes we'll like take them somewhere like Dave and Buster's, a main event or something like that, just so they get out of the house a little bit.
Right.
So that's, I mean, that's pretty much how my work day goes. Like I said, when they're in school, then it's a little bit different because it's probably more work for me versus like the in-between, you know, hourly breaks, just because I'm, you know, I'm able to get a lot more done whenever they're actually at school. But that's a typical day for me. Okay, so I try to mix business with pleasure, if that makes sense. Like I try to, you know, make sure all my work is done, you know, making sure they're good, you know, with eating and getting them stuff to do. And then I also, you know, try to have a little bit of fun with the family. Or, you know, every now and then I may go, you know, somewhere. I have a little bit of a social life, so I'll try to go somewhere with like friends or something. But it's not that often that I do that. But yes, I do, you know, make sure I try to mix in both work and fun.
That's awesome. Yeah, that kind of sounds like my schedule now, because I'm a virtual assistant, so I'm able to work from home. And now that the kids are home for the summer, I have to find stuff for them to do. So you got them like a little pool. So I have to, I'm like, go outside, like get some fresh air, like you need some vitamin D, like anything to get them outside. So I don't have to hear them screaming for a while. So I totally get trying to rearrange your day around the summertime. That's like every mom, especially working parents, like that's their worst fear is like summertime. It's that, can I have a snack every 5 minutes time? So
My daughter is really creative, and so she likes drawing and coloring and stuff, so she made me a sign, a really colorful sign that says, in session. And so whenever I'm, and because they will, they'll just knock on the door, they'll just come inside, you know, because I'm at home too. I have an office where I go to in-person sessions, but for the majority of the time, I'm here because most of my sessions are virtual. So yes, you're right. They come in every 10 minutes at 5 minutes asking for snacks. And so she made me this really colorful sign that says in session. And so I actually have that on my door right now. So they know not to bother mom whenever, you know, I'm in session with my sign on the door. So she was really helpful in that way, but you're right. It's like they need something. It's even if I'm on the phone, like if I'm on a, you know, discovery call, it's not Zoom or Skype. It's just a call, but it's like, even it's like, as soon as I get on a call, it's like, now they want something from me.
Right. It's like they pop up as soon as you're doing something. They're like, oh, now I need mom for something. Now's the time. daughter's gotten, my youngest one has gotten creative. So she started putting like little sticky notes. She'll leave them in my office, just like writing things. The other one, the last one I got was like, I need $5 for Roblox. That was like the little note that she left me. So they get creative. They'll figure out ways to communicate with you. If they can't make noise, they're like, I'm still going to talk to you somehow. Being a certified life coach, can you tell us a bit about like what that is and how you become a life coach? And when would someone necessarily seek out a life coach?
Yes. So becoming a life coach, you do have to take classes. So it's going to school, but so you can either do in-person, they have in-person schools where you can, you know, get your certification. I chose to do it online, again, because with my schedule, it was a lot easier for me to just kind of do it at my own pace. So you do have to take classes, go to school. There's several of them out there. There's probably like hundreds and or if not thousands of life coaching schools out there.
Okay.
And the one that I did, like I said, it's called Transformation Academy, and it was self-paced. So it took me about 6 or 7 months to complete my primary certification. And then I'm also certified in happiness and life purpose. So I took additional classes and did additional work to do to get those like subsidiary certifications and, like I said, happiness and life purpose. So, you know, in terms of how long does it take for you to get certified, it's completely up to you. Like, I think if you do it online, for the most part, I believe that they're, you know, self-paced. So you can probably do it as fast as you want to, or, you know, take as long as you need, you know, depending on your schedule. And so that's how you become a certified life coach. In terms of who would seek out a life coach, it's normally people that have tried to do it all on their own, right? So maybe they have goals that they want to reach. You know, they want to start a business or they want to change careers, whatever it may be. They, you know, have tried it on their own. And for some reason, there's some sort of blockage or barrier that's stopping them from completing or reaching that goal. Right. And so I'm actually here to help clients basically break down those barriers, whatever it may be. It could be, you know, that they have lack of confidence. You know, they fear of failure. A lot of times people get like, I call it analysis paralysis, right? So they analyze things so much, like, you know, they're trying to figure out the outcome of this, they're trying to figure out, you know, what's the best result of that. And it's because they're analyzing everything so much, they don't do anything. They just get paralyzed and they get worried and scared of moving forward. And so I help them, you know, kind of break that barrier down, like fear of failure. You know, a lot of times people just don't believe in themselves. You know, they just feel like if they try to do something, then it's going to fail anyway. More than likely, it's not going to work. Like, who am I to be starting a business? You know, whatever it is.
Right.
So a lot of times it's just people that, you know, they're trying to get there. They know kind of what they want. They just don't necessarily know how to get there. And so they reach out to a life coach at that point, because we can, like I said, help them break down those barriers that are stopping them from, you know, achieving their full potential, reaching their goals. And then we also, you know, become their accountability partner, right? Like maybe they don't necessarily have a support system that's able to hold them accountable the way they need to be held accountable, right? So a lot of times I'll set goals for them. So if they have it, let's say somebody wants to lose a certain amount of weight. You know, if a client wants to lose 50 pounds, for instance, you know, a lot of times they'll start and then they'll stop. You know what I mean? They'll start again. They get, you know, motivated again and then they stop.
Right.
And so I would come in and help hold them accountable. Right. Like I check in on them in between sessions. I'll give them kind of milestones to reach in between. So they, you know, their end goal is to reach the 50, you know, the 50 pound weight loss. But I would set, you know, milestones. So this week, you know, all I need you to do, just start on the treadmill, start on the treadmill for like, you know, 15, 30 minutes today. Let's not worry about the pounds that we're going to lose. Let's just get started, like moving. Like we just need to be active and let's start moving.
Right.
So once they're consistent with that for like a week, that's, you know, milestone one. That's, you know, baby steps. But you have to start somewhere. And then, I, like I said, I try to keep them accountable and make sure that they stay on track. And I'll check on them in between sessions to make sure, did you get on the treadmill today? Did you drink your water? Did you eat your vegetables? Like that sort of thing. Just to make sure they're, you know, doing what they need to do to reach that goal. Like, remember what your goal is. Like, I also talk to them about their whys, right? I think, and I'm saying me because I am a life coach, but life coaches in general, more than likely, you know, they'll probably do a lot of the same thing maybe.
Right.
But I think that helps keep people motivated, right? Like if you, you know, make sure they acknowledge and identify what they're like, why they want to do this in the first place, why they want to start a business. You know, a lot of times it's because of financial freedom. You know, they want to be able to, you know, choose their own schedules, whatever it may be. If they have a, you know, a compelling why for themselves, then, you know, whenever they stop being so motivated, like whenever they, you know, hit kind of a wall and they have lack of motivation, you're able to, life coaches are able to remind them, remember why you want to do this in the first place, right? So if you don't do this now, if you don't get on the treadmill today or eat healthy today, you're never going to reach that 50 pound weight loss. So, you know, I think we have tools and strategies. Life coaches have tools and strategies that we're able to use on our clients in order to, you know, get the best results for them. Like I said, to help them reach their full potential. So that's okay. When, a lot, you know, a lot of, and then sometimes I mentioned that, you know, a lot of times they know what they want, like they have goals, but they can't reach. Sometimes they don't necessarily know what they want.
Right.
They just know they feel like, you know, maybe there's more to life. And they don't necessarily know when is life actually going to start for me. Like, I'm, you know, everything's so mundane. You know, I go to work, I come home, I go to work. You know what I mean? You know, they don't have a social life. They don't necessarily have a lot going on. And they're just like, I know there's more to life than just the cycle that I'm in every day. How do I get to that, you know, more excitement and more joy, you know, that sort of thing.
Right.
And so that's when, you know, self-discovery comes in. Like I help them discover who they are as a person. What is it that makes you happy? Let's figure out like what it is that makes you happy. What's going to make you feel fulfilled. And then once we identify that, then again, we'll set goals based on, you know, how to make them feel their best. And then we'll kind of, you know, work towards those goals. So you don't always necessarily have to know what you want in life. You just know that you want more, you know, to life than what you're actually facing. So yeah, so it's up to life coaches to kind of help them get out of the rut that they feel like they're in.
Right.
And you know, live life to the fullest. So, yeah.
Do you want to start a podcast, but you don't know where to start? As the host and producer of this podcast, I can tell you it's definitely not easy. When I started out, I had absolutely no idea what I was doing or where to start. Actually, I still kind of don't know what I'm doing. Buzzsprout has been my go-to from the start of my podcast. They have so many helpful videos on hosting, how to edit, how to add music, how to post, what to post. I mean, you name it, they help you with it. And their Facebook community is helpful too. So let me tell you now, if you're a podcaster and you're trying to start a podcast, or you already have a podcast and you're looking for a host, definitely check out Buzzsprout. They have everything you need to get started, even a domain name if you don't already have one. Trust me, I'm no tech genius, and Buzzsprout has definitely been my saving grace. So if you're interested, you can click the link in the show notes to get started on your podcasting journey. Now back to the show.
is like a major difference, you would say, between therapy and like life coaching? Because I feel like sometimes people get confused with what it's like, okay, well, if I have a life coach, do I need a therapist? Or if I have a therapist, do I need a life coach? Like, how do you kind of correlate the two?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm glad you asked that. So life coaches are basically concerned, and our primary goal is to help them. So whatever issues they have. So we do, you know, work with people that, you know, have depression, anxiety, maybe some things that people like therapists would work with them on.
Okay.
So we will address that with them. But our goal is to address those things with them. So if they're depressed, or if, you know, whatever it is, lack of confidence, like I said, so they feel really down about themselves. Maybe they've had trauma in the past, right? Like their upbringing, you know, has caused kind of these emotional scars. And so they can't necessarily move forward the way they want to in life because they're emotionally scarred. They feel, you know, like they're not worthy necessarily just because of how they were brought up. So we'll address that. But our intention is to address those issues in order to help people move forward, right? So we'll address them. We'll, you know, try to reframe some of the negative experiences they've had, try to get down to the root of why they may feel that way. And then, like I said, but the whole goal for life coaches is to help them move forward, help them reach their, you know, their current goals or future goals. So it's like we can't move forward unless we address the past. That's kind of what our philosophy, life coach's philosophy is.
Right.
In terms of therapy, therapists, counselors, they do, you know, they're more or less, you know, they're trying to address those issues as well. Like, so their past traumas, whatever it is, their depression, they're addressing those issues as well, but they're addressing them to help them kind of process that in the moment. So they're not necessarily looking toward their future. They don't necessarily, you know, need them to, you know, reach goals in the future. They want them to, you know, be okay today. Like we're focused, you know, therapists are focusing on, you know, their needs and their, you know, the issues and challenges today. Let's process this. Let's be okay with who we are and what we're doing today. And life coaches are all about future. Like let's help fix your life. Let's like enhance it, improve your life for future, right? Like to make sure your next chapter is, you know, basically your best chapter, if that makes sense. So one is, you know, therapists are more focused on, you know, let's help you process the things that have happened to you in your past. Let's process it so you can live your life today, right? In like a, you know, more happy, you know, happy state, like more, you know, joyful state. Just basically you need to be okay today with where you are in life.
Right.
And then we're like, you know, let's make you okay with what happened in your past so you can have a better life in the future. Let's set your goals for the future. Let's make sure, you know, like I said, your next chapter is going to be your best one. So if that, hopefully that makes sense.
Right. Yeah, I think I did kind of like a little pivot because I've done therapy for years. And then I feel like therapy is like where you kind of like work on, you know, your past traumas and all that. And kind of figure out, you know, the whys and the how comes and all the questions that you may have. And then with, I kind of like hit a wall where I felt like it was kind of getting repetitive. And I'm like, well, why is that? Like, I don't feel like it's not bad, but it's not good. Like, I'm not feeling like a movement. It's like, well, maybe you need like a different kind of pivot. Like you figured out like your trauma, you've talked through it, you've done all that. And now you're trying to figure out your future. And I think that's where the kind of separation is, like in therapy, you know, like you said, you're working on the now, your past. And then sometimes for me anyway, sometimes my depression can come from future thoughts, like me thinking about things that are going to happen in the future.
Absolutely.
So me having a future plan might in turn help that. And then I can move on to something else. So That actually makes perfect sense to, you know, you have your therapy to work on something in your past or something that may have happened or trauma. And then you have your life coaching to kind of move you forward in life and go through your future.
Yeah. And that's a good point about, you know, you saying that sometimes your depression comes from you worrying about the future. That's absolutely right. So a lot of times I try to teach my, and I say a lot of these things and I know they're easier said than done, but I teach my clients to make sure they live in the present, right? Like, so. Basically focus on where your feet are standing right now. So the present, you know, because regret lives in the past and worry lives in the future, right? If you're regretting things, that means you're regretting things that happened or maybe did not happen that you wanted to happen in the past. Right. And, you know, worry, like you said, it's, you know, that lives in the future. So you're worrying about things that haven't even happened yet. You're just, you know, you're going through your mind a lot of times about the what if, like, what if I fail? Like, what if it doesn't happen this way or whatever it is? So I try to teach clients to keep, like I said, stay present, like work, just be focused on where you are right now. Like nothing bad is happening right this second, right? So yes, things have happened in the past that were bad, and right. things are, you know, you don't know what's going to happen in the future. You know, like I said, I've used starting a business as, you know, an example, because a lot of times people, that's one of their goals is to start a business. And so it's like, if you're focusing so much on, you know, whether it's going to fail or not fail, or, you know what I mean? Like if it's, am I going to get clients? Am I going to get customers? Like whatever it is, like, don't worry about that. Like, why don't you, you know, most of the time our what ifs are negative, right? Like right. what if it doesn't do this, or what if it doesn't? What if you actually focused on or kind of transitioned your mindset to focusing on the positive what if? What if I have so many customers, you know, I have to figure out like how to, you know, serve them all, like that kind of thing. Like, what if I do really well? Does it come, you know, the business, you know, jumps off and it launches and there's a lot of people that want to buy my products or whatever it is. So right. I try to help them like kind of transition that mindset to, you know, you can do the what ifs because it's kind of human nature to do that. But, you know, let's focus on positive. Let's think about what if all these positive things happen versus what if all these negative things happen. But for the most part, I want them to kind of, you know, like I said, stay focused on what's happening right now. Nothing bad's happening. It happened in the past. You know, let that be. You know, let's get through, you know, the emotional scars that it left. But let's let the past be the past. Let's figure out ways to release that. And then let's move on, you know, to the future. But right now, don't worry about anything. We're good. Everything, you know what I mean? Everything is fine right this second. So,
right.
Like I said, it's easier said than done, but I try to, you know, help clients kind of understand that part.
Yeah, I think it's good for people to know that they're, because sometimes there may be people who are, they have plateaued or whatever in therapy mm-hmm. to where they're like, this feels like headed, like I feel like I'm doing the same thing. Like this doesn't feel like it's working the way it was. And it's like they're mm-hmm. not feeling more sad, like nothing's right. getting worse, just nothing's necessarily changing. Mm-hmm. That may yeah. be a sign that maybe you need to pivot a little bit. You mm-hmm. might need a life coach or a business coach mm-hmm. or whatever it is that you're trying to, you know, do. Or if you don't know that, you may need to figure out, find someone who can, you know, help you figure that out, because a therapist mm-hmm. might yeah. not necessarily be the one to help you. And that might be why you're stuck or why you feel like, oh, it's not worse, but it's not right. better. Like, it's just right. kind of, man. So yeah. that is good to know. There are other options outside of just therapy on figuring out what you want to do in life, because even though everyone says you're supposed to have your life figured out by like 25 or 30 or whatever the number is now, like, I'm just like, no one had a manual of life. So no. like everyone's just kind of going through it. So really yeah. it's just whenever you figure it out at this
That's
point,
right.
like whatever age it is that That's you're right. like, okay, this is what I need. This is what I want. How do I get it? Like that's when you figured out life. Just go through life at this point. Because stress, I just remember being in my 20s and stressing about being 21, and then I was 21 mm-hmm. and then I stressed about being 25 mm-hmm. and then yeah. I was 25, and it's like you stress about it so much, it comes and then it goes, and then you're like, oh, what next? Yeah. Like, I still don't know what I want to do. So
absolutely. And so that whole figuring it out thing, I think we kind of all just figure it out as we go along.
Right.
Because things change. Like as you get older, like the trajectory of your life changes too, because you want, you know, you have different ambitions and different goals and stuff like that. So in terms, so let's say, you know, you figure it out at 25 years old. By the time you're 30, you probably have new and different, you know, ambitions and dreams right. anyway. So it's like, I figured out this particular path, but now that I want to do something different or new, like I have to figure that part out. So I think, right. you know, that's why people say life is a journey. It's a journey, not, you know, not a destination. So it's like, you're constantly figuring it out, like trying to figure out like what, you know, it's like every age you're trying to figure out who you want to be when you grow up, you know, that sort of thing.
Right.
You know, you turn 30, it's like, now who do I want to be? Like, I don't necessarily want to do the same exact things that I did when I was 25. Like, I want to
exactly.
do so. Yeah. So I think, you know, it's a whole journey. It's a process. And
yeah,
it's
like,
know, we're figuring it out every, like I said, every age we get older, we're figuring it out something new. It's, you know, it's never going to be like a straight path. Like, I got it. I figured out life. Like, that's
right.
Not
yeah. I feel like I've gone through so many different careers in my mind as time has gone. It's like what I wanted to be in elementary. Like, I wanted to be a dancer in elementary
right.
school. Like, I'm clearly not on stage dancing anymore because that's not what I wanted to do. Like,
right.
everything kind of changes and pivots. I feel like the more you actually explore and like learn about life and kind of live life and do your adulting and all that is when you kind of figure out what you do and what you don't like, because someone else telling you what you're not going to like, someone else telling you their experience isn't necessarily going to be yours. Everyone's different. So if you haven't lived it, you're not really going to know if you like it or not. So
that's
I have plenty of friends. I went to college and they were like, I absolutely hate what I went to college for.
Right.
I got a degree in something that I don't even use now. Completely on a completely different scale. So
100%.
I think it's totally a journey in life. Everyone's just trying to figure it out and find something that like gives them peace at the end of the day.
That's absolutely right. And that's a good point that you made about, you know, people kind of do things because of other people's expectations.
Yeah.
It's like there's always going to be someone, even your parents, but there's going to be someone that feels like you should be doing something other than what you may want to do. Like you said, that, you know, you have friends. I have friends that went to college for a certain degree because their parents, you know, felt like, oh, you're really smart and you were really good at this in high school. So you definitely need to go, you know, and have that as your major in college. And like you said, they don't even do anything with it now. But so it's kind of, you know, having to get over the should-haves. I call it kind of the should-have complex. You know, people feel like you should do this. Like I went to college. I feel like I was always going to go to college anyway, but I don't necessarily know because it was always instilled in me that I have to go to college when I was, you know, younger. Like you got to go to college. So I never really put much thought to it. I'm glad I did. But you know, it's kind of one of those things like you should go to college. It's something I should do. And in terms of public relations, I think I mentioned that public relations was my background. I love doing that, but you know, it was a little hard for me, like just in my mind, because I had to get over this whole, I should be doing this because I'm, you know, I'm good at what I'm doing.
Right.
You know, I'm, you know, working up the corporate ladder. So it was kind of, it was a kind of a mind shift that I had to go through to be okay with going from, you know, my 15 plus career as a public relations professional and moving into life coaching. Because you can imagine people being like, you're doing what now? Like,
right, it's like, oh my gosh, so, what?
You were doing so well in PR and communications. Like, where do you become a life coach of all things? You know, so, you know, but, you know, you have to find what works for you. You have to find, like, what makes you fulfilled and what, you know, gives you, you know, this joy and rewarding feeling in life. Like, so you kind of have to get over the should have complex. Like, people feel like, you know, I should be doing something else, but I love doing right now. It's rewarding for me. I'm helping women every day. And so, you know, that's what I'm enjoying doing. So that's a good point. Like this, you know, people are going to have expectations. So it's basically coming down to your figuring out who your authentic self is,
right?
Like figuring out who you are. Like I said, you know, I help clients figure like what they like and what makes them happy, regardless of what anybody else feels or what they think they should be doing, right? So, you know, once you figure out and you're okay, that you're happy and you're okay living your as your authentic self, living your authentic life, whatever it is you choose to do, if you do choose to, you know, dance again, you wanted to be a dancer in elementary, you choose, okay, now is the time I'm going to become a dancer.
Like, right.
You know, you attempt that, but that's on you. That's, you know, up to you. If that's something that you feel like is going to make you happy, you know, regardless, again, of what anybody else thinks or says, then you go and you dance, you know.
Right.
So it's just a matter of, you know, figuring out like what works for you and what, you know, what makes you happy.
Yeah. Just makes me remember when I started my college journey, I dabbled in many things because my family was like, oh yeah, well, you know, your grandma was a nurse and you should be a nurse and nurses. I was like, okay, I'll try it out. And then I got like up to the phlebotomy part and they were like, oh yeah. I was like, wait, they have to practice on me. Time out. Like, I need something else. Can't do it. So sorry, Grandma. Like, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
No one's practicing on me. I hate needles when it comes to, like, drawing blood and stuff.
Yeah.
Please, no. Yeah. Like, I can give you a needle, but me? No, please don't practice on me. Like, so I was just like, yeah, like, I dabbled in a lot. So you can always change your mind later. There's so many people now that are changing careers after 25 years, especially after the lockdown. They're just like, wait, I don't really like this. This doesn't, you know, fulfill me anymore. And they started seeking other professions and finding things that were they were actually passionate about. So yeah, I totally understand, like, just wanting to do something that makes you, like, feel good. Like, nobody wants to just have that nine. I feel like that 9-to-5 grind is such a guilt trip of for people just in general, like, oh yeah, you should be working a 9-to-5. It's not a real job. If you're too happy at it, it's not really a job. It's like, no, that's not really a thing. Like, you should want to at least enjoy what you have to do to literally survive. Like, we all have to work and make some sort of money or do something to have a roof over our head and food in our mouth. And so you might as well do something you enjoy while you're doing something you literally have to do.
Yeah, I say that all the time. It's like, you know, we got to do it anyway. Like you said, we have to do something to make money, right? So the best thing to do is, you know, to make the money happy, right? Like, you spend so much time working, whether that's, you know, owning your own business or, if, like you said, if you have a 9-to-5, you spend so much time at work, you know, working your business. Yeah, you might as well do something that you actually, like you said, are happy doing. 100% agree with that. Yeah. And it's like you said, it's like a guilt trip. People feel so guilty about, you know, just branching out on their own, like, you know, and it's not the easiest thing. Becoming an entrepreneur, as you know, is not the easiest thing to do, but it's almost like they feel guilty about even wanting to do that. Like, they feel like the 9-to-5 is, you know, it's ingrained in our minds. The 9-to-5 is just, that's what you do, right? Like, you work, at least my parents, you know, told me that I should work at a company for like 30, 40 years, right? And then you retire, and then you get retirement money after that. But it's like, you stay loyal to a company, you find a company and you stay there for 30 years and then you retire. And just kind of like, I don't know anyone besides my parents. I mean, like, besides my parents' generation that actually stayed at a job for that long. Like, people that are around my age, and especially millennials, like people that are a lot younger than me, like, they, you know, whatever, it's kind of like whatever makes them happy, right? Like, they're all about, like, I believe they're all about kind of like self-fulfillment and making sure they're happy. So if they feel like they can get paid higher, like they feel like they're worth more, they can get paid higher. Like, they don't have a problem, from what I know. Like, the millennials that I know, they don't have a problem necessarily, like, you know, reaching for their goals, like going to a company that they feel like they'll be valued more, that they feel like will pay them more. Like I said, but me growing up, it was like, no, you just stick with the company. Do you feel like you can get paid somewhere else? No, you stay where you are. You know, you'll get a raise later, sooner or later. So it's like, no, it's, you know, you, I think now it's a little bit more acceptable to actually, you know, do what it is that makes you happy. Like I said, if that's starting a business or whatever that may be, I think people are a little bit more accepting of it, but I still feel like there's some guilt that comes around that too, just because people feel like they should, again, the should have complex, they should, you know, be doing this 9-to-5, working up the corporate ladder, or they should be, you know, doing something that provides, you know, consistency. So one thing about entrepreneurship, you know, is that it's not necessarily consistent. Right. Like, sometimes I may be working with, you know, I may have, you know, 40 clients at once. And another time I may have, like, you know, 20 clients or whatever. So the money is not necessarily consistent all the time. There's ebbs and flows. Right. During the pandemic, obviously, it was a lot more. I had a lot more clients because everybody was kind of feeling down and, you know, they felt lost. So, you know, starting, you know, around that time, it was like I had a ton, like, overwhelming amount of clients. Right. So now it's like ebbs and flows. And so I think a lot of people feel like if they stick with the 9-to-5, which is true, it's more consistency. So, like, I have to do this for my family. And so a lot of times they won't branch out to, you know, starting that business they want to start because they're like, this 9-to-5 is what's, you know, providing food, you know, on the table for my family, which, yes, it's true. And I tell my clients, like, you have to set a plan. Like, don't just, you know, move that idea of you starting a business or whatever it is to the back burner and never doing it. Like, you need to set a plan, figure out what it is that, you know, is going to make that happen for you. So, you know, make sure you get, so I always say I got my ducks in a row, right? So I made sure I knew where my clients were coming from. You know, I knew what my price was going to be. Like, I figured all these things out before I actually left my 9-to-5 and started life coaching. So it's like, there's a way you can do it. I don't necessarily want people to feel like it's so hard to do. I don't want to do it at all. And, you know, just kind of push that back into their minds. Like, it's never going to happen for me. Like, I want people to understand and realize that, you know, it's doable. You have to just, you know, make it work for you. Like, figure out, like, what, you know, you need to plan and plan ahead to make it work. But absolutely go for your dreams and make sure you do, you know, what it is, again, that makes you happy.
Yeah. And I think everyone's also like, where is this retirement money that everyone speaks of? Like, it is not what it used to be. And so everyone's like, wait a minute, like, these companies aren't even being loyal to us anymore. We don't really get anything at the end of our 30 years of service, like our grandparents and everyone did. So, like, now I better find something that's going to make me happy. If they're not going to give me anything for all the hard work and sacrifice. Yeah. The least I could do is enjoy it. Like. So yeah. What's a beginner session with a life coach? When someone like first starts out, what's a step that they would take in starting with a life coach?
Yeah, that's a good question. So a discovery call is what I always tell people they need to have. So I don't want people to necessarily jump right into it and say, oh, I'm going to book a session with you and y'all want you to fix my life. No, we need to set a discovery call. And those are normally like 15 to 20 minutes just so I can get down to the root of what it actually is that you want to address. Okay. Right? Because you may think you have, you know, one issue or one challenge, and I may, in the discovery call, I may discover that it's actually a few different issues, you know, that kind of, you know, works together to form this one large issue, if that makes sense.
Right.
So I also always say that, you know, we need to have a discovery call first. Let's kind of get down to the nuts and bolts of what it is that you actually want to address and what will actually help you kind of enhance your life going forward. And then in the first session, so once we get through with that and they decide, yes, this is what I want, this is what I want to work on, then we have the initial session. And the first session, almost always, it depends on what it is that they do want to work on. But for the most part, people have, again, more, we find out that it's more than one issue in life. Right? Like they're not happy with, you know, multiple things in their life. And like I said, it kind of, you know, works together to seem like it's one. So for instance, like depression. So people are like, oh, I'm depressed and think that's the issue. But your depression stems from somewhere, right? So it may stem from, you know, your past trauma, or it may stem from you just feeling like you're not getting, you know, all that there is out of life, like whatever it may be, you know, there's normally more than one. So in the very first session, you know, we'll look at what's called a wheel of life. And that's basically, there's eight different major areas of life that we'll focus on. And that's, you know, career, I won't go through all of them, but it's like career, money, significant other and relationships, friends and family, fun and recreation. And then fun and recreation is basically self-care. So basically, do you do things that are fun for you and that, you know, is basically helping you keep your cup full? Like, you know right. what I mean? Continue to fill your cup. And physical environment, which is actually where you live. Like, are you happy with the home that you're living in? You know, your actual location, like, is it close to amenities and shopping or whatever it is that you like to do? So we'll go through all of these. Like I said, there's eight of them. There's eight different, you know, major areas of life that we look at. And I have them rate them. So rating from 1 to 10, 1 being this part of my life is miserable. I hate it. It definitely needs improvement. And then 10 being this part of my life is great. I don't really have any complaints here. Like, it's, you know, I'm doing really well in this area. Okay. So once they rate it, my goal is for them to have a rating between 8 and 10 of whatever area that we're talking about. So if it's under an 8, and then sometimes even when it is between an 8 and a 10, there's still like, oh, there's still some things that I can improve.
Right.
But if it's under an 8, especially if it's like when 3 and 4 range of whatever that is, you know, career, if, you know, somebody rates their career between a 3 and a 4, then, you know, it's like, what do we need to do to get that up to, again, between an 8 and a 10? Do you want to transition careers, like do something else? Or do you just want to feel more valued and like you love what you're doing, you just want to feel more valued? Or more confident or whatever it is, you know, you want to be more assertive, like whatever that career issue looks like to them, you know, we'll set goals around, you know, whatever the particular issue is. So if it's, you know, career, if it's health and wellness is another one of those 8 areas. If it's low, then we'll set goals around, I call them SMART goals. And it's basically specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and timeframed, or like a deadline. We attach a deadline to the goals. So we'll set their SMART goals based on their rating. So again, if they, you know, rate their career 3 or 4, let's set goals to figure out what it is that you need out of your career. What is it that you, you know, need or want to make that, you know, make that rating an 8 or between an 8 and a 10?
Right.
So we'll set all of these goals. So the very first session is us doing that. Like, we'll assess all of these different areas of life and we'll set actual SMART goals to these different areas. And then that's kind of our marching orders, right? So those are our marching orders. Those are the goals that we're going to be working towards achieving during our sessions going forward. So we work on goals going forward. And then we also address issues again. So we kind of break up the session into two parts. Like the first part, so after we set our goals, again, a lot of times I give them assignments in between our sessions, depending on, you know, sometimes people do sessions once a week. Other times people do them like once every other week, but I'll give them an assignment to do to help them, again, work towards their goals, reach these milestones that I talked to you about, to reach their ultimate goal. So I give them an assignment. So they'll have goals that they'll be working on or milestones that they'll be working on in between sessions. So that's the first half. Like, I'll check on them. Like, how did you do with this? Like, I gave you this assignment, you know, on our last session. You said you were going to, you know, start walking on the treadmill more. You said you were going to be, you know, starting to eat more healthy or whatever the goal may be that we set the very first session or, you know, the previous session. So we'll talk about that, talk about, you know, what it is that they, if they lost motivation in between that time or if they're just procrastinated and was like, no, I'll get to that next week. So we'll talk about that. We'll address that. We'll figure out like what it is that they need, what type of support they need to make sure that they continue, you know, working towards these goals. And then the second half is normally, you know, break whatever barrier it is. So I mentioned, you know, maybe it was procrastination or maybe it was lack of motivation. So we'll talk about, you know, breaking down those barriers. So we'll go through an exercise or I'll give them some tools on how to stay motivated or I'll give them tools on, you know, how to make sure you're, you know, balancing. So, you know, the original topic, you know, balancing, you know, these things, sometimes the balance comes into play. Like I have so much going on. It's hard for me to, you know, balance everything and get everything done. Like, I know you gave me this assignment, but I had work, you know, this week and I had, you know, my kids this week and I, you know, all this stuff. I had all these different life instances, like life things happening. So I didn't get a chance to do, you know, what you told me to do, but and I have to remind them, like, it's basically making yourself a priority. Right. Like you're making everything else a priority.
Right.
Like, let's not, you know, let your goals, you know, get pushed back anymore. Let's figure out a way to do it all. And again, we only have, like I said, we have 100% of ourselves to give. So I'm not necessarily saying like you have to do everything perfectly. That's not, you know, that's not realistic.
Right.
But it's like I try to help them figure out like what it is that they can do to balance it all. You know, and make sure that their goals are met too. So we, like I said, we break it up and we kind of, you know, focus on those two things, your goals, and then how do we continue moving forward? Like, what do we need to do to make sure you are continuing to make yourself a priority and you feel okay about doing that?
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's kind of like having like a trainer and a coach and an accountability partner, like all in one.
All in one.
Like, cool. Yeah. It's kind of like we're going to give you the tools and then we'll give you the ways to the step-by-step guide and then we're going to help you with the step-by-step guide. So that's good because I feel like some people are probably like, oh, okay, when I get one, is it going to be like to where I have to go home and like figure this out on my own or like how is this going to work? So it's good to know. I also didn't know that life coaches were in-person sessions as well, like therapy. I thought they were just like, you know, the just like the how the discovery calls are. I thought they were like Zoom and stuff like that. So that's cool that you can actually also do it in person if it kind of works better, because I know some people work better with like interacting more of the extroverted people, and then like the introverts are more like, no, please, like Zoom if you will. I would much rather stay here. So
cool. So I offer either. So so I live in the Dallas area, like the Dallas Fort Worth area.
Okay.
And so the people that are closer to me, if they want to meet in person, absolutely. Like I said, I have an office, and so we'll go meet in person because there are people that feel like they learn better, they, you know, receive this information better if they're in person.
Right.
And then I have other people all over the country. The majority of my clients are kind of all over the place. And so we'll just do virtual sessions. And it works just fine. Like, it's just like, you know, how you and I are talking right now. It just works like that. So yeah, so it works fine either way.
So what are some tips you would give to, I guess, not even, I guess anyone, really, what are some tips you would give for someone who's struggling, mainly moms that are struggling with like mom guilt and prioritizing themselves and always feeling like they have to give an excuse as to why they haven't prioritized themselves? It's like, oh, you know, I have this list of stuff to do. And it's always later for them, and then later never comes. So what's some advice or tips you would give to someone who's trying to kind of step forward and prioritize themselves more?
Yeah. So one of the things that I would suggest is, number one is understanding that you don't have to. And so a lot of it is mindset. So, you know, number one, I'd say to understand that you don't have to live in mediocrity, right? So if moms feel like, you know, I'm not going to say that moms aren't happy. I'm sure every, you know, most moms are feel very fulfilled, and they feel like, you know, because they have their families and, you know, the ones that are married, they have, you know, their spouses. And so I'm sure their family life is fulfilling to them. However, in terms of personally, you know, a lot of times they don't feel like they're necessarily getting what they need out of life,
right.
Like they, you know, one. And so I would say to number one would be to recognize that it is okay. Like, I think we put that stipulation on ourselves that we're not supposed to be doing all these other things. We're not supposed to live out our dreams. Has anybody actually told us not to do that? Like, nobody, like, it's no one's ever said, like, you absolutely can't live out your dreams.
Right.
So, you know, I think, you know, we need to understand and realize, you know, that it is okay, 100% okay to, you know, to live out our dreams, to make sure we're happy. Like you said, you know, putting our oxygen masks on first. And then, you know, making sure that we're okay and happy in order to be the best moms and spouses that we can for our families. So that's number one, I would say, is to understand that it is okay. Be okay with that. Understand that it's like, you know, it's not a problem for us to make ourselves a priority, right? And then, you know, secondly, I would say this whole finding balance thing. It's not necessarily the easiest thing, but you absolutely can find balance. So I think that's kind of what we struggle with. Like, we feel like we have so much to do, you know, in our lives that we can't possibly, you know, make sure we're happy too. Like, I'm so busy, you know, chauffeuring the kids around and making sure that, you know, my spouse is happy and making sure, you know, his clothes are ironed or whatever it is that you do, you know, for his job, whatever it is that you do for your family.
Right.
Like, it's like, you know, we feel like because there's so much going on and because we're spreading ourselves so thin, like, you know, our needs are always going to be put, just human nature, mom nature, I guess I should say woman nature. We feel like, you know, our needs are the ones that need to get pushed back because somebody else is going to suffer. So it's like finding that balance. You know, you can do it all. Like I said, you do the best you can. I think one of the issues I mentioned in the very beginning of the show, one of the issues is we feel like we have to give 100% to everything, 100% to, you know, work, 100% to, you know, our kids. Like, you give your 100%, but it has to be spread out across everything. You know, we don't
right.
have to 100% to give. We are 100%. And so it's like we do the best we can with what we have, right? And so it's like I think a lot of it is planning. Like, if you kind of plan out the day or plan out the week, you have your schedule set, you know what your kids are doing, you know when they need to be at basketball practice, you know whenever they have whatever events that they need to get to, you have that set, you know what your husband needs. So I think planning is a big part of it too. Like, setting a plan for life, like, it sounds weird, but you set a life plan week by week, you know what you're doing. And then you find time to make yourself a priority. Like, you find, you know, ways for you to, you know, if you want to start a business, maybe you can only work on it a couple, you know, hours a night because you are dealing with the kids, cooking dinner or whatever else it is. But there's going to be some time throughout the day that you
right.
have time to, like, start working on your business plan, whatever it is. But I think planning is a huge part of it. You know, plan out whatever it is that you want to do. If you want to, you know, lose weight or whatever, then you need to find, you know, at least 30 minutes, you know, three times a week within the day to go walking or walk on the trail, whatever it is, do some exercise. You have time to do it. You have time, like I said, to make yourself a priority. It's, I think planning is a big part of it too, to find that balance. Right. If you have another thing is if you have a 9-to-5, you know, you're working, you know, sometimes it's not necessarily 9-to-5. A lot of times, you know, we have an overlay, like an overlap. So, you know, your 8-hour day or 9-hour day turns into like 10 hours. So I think
right.
a lot of times we're like, how in the world are we supposed to do things for ourselves when after this 9 or 10 hours a day, you know, then I have to go home and do all the kid stuff and, you know, family stuff or whatever. So one thing I would suggest with that is a lot of times I think we feel like we have to work that many hours. I'm sure you've heard a lot of times where people say, you know, just, you know, make sure you just work your designated hours, no more, no less.
Right.
That's not always easy to do, especially if you're an entrepreneur, as you know.
Exactly.
You know, there's, you know, you want to be able to work your set amount of hours, but there's sometimes things that, you know, that you have to finish up or whatever. So during those times, what I would suggest, it's setting an alarm. So if you're able to put some things to the next day or put some things, you know, yeah, just to the next day or whatever, or later on in the week, set a timer, not necessarily, you know, at 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock, the timer goes off, you go home. I don't necessarily say that because, again, that's not necessarily realistic. But if you're able to set a timer for maybe 30 minutes, 40 minutes out, so when this time, so the timer goes off. And so, you know, whenever that alarm goes off, then you have 30 or 40 minutes to kind of wrap up whatever it is you're doing. right? So timer goes off. Okay, so now that means I need to try to wrap up, like kind of put the pin in whatever it is that I'm working on, close it up, and let's figure out, you know, how I can save the rest of this, like finish up what I'm doing, come to a stopping point, and then finish the rest of it the next day. So I think that's a little bit more realistic than saying, you know, you set an alarm, because I'm sure you've heard of that. Like people say that all the time, like set an alarm and that's when you're done with. How do I just stop? I'm like in the middle of typing a sentence in an email. Like it's
right. It's like I can't stop at the time.
Right. So it's like, you know, if you're able to set that timer, set that alarm, you know, for the 30, 40 minutes, you know, to close up or whatever, that kind of gives you a little time to, okay, I need to wrap up. That means I need to, you know, I've already worked my 9 hours today. Let me go ahead and close it down or whatever. This stuff is going to be waiting for me tomorrow anyway. So I'll just go ahead and work on it tomorrow. So I think that's a good tip to try to find balance. And again, to, you know, to try to, you know, not feel guilty about it. Right. So, you know, that you've worked your day, you feel good about what you've done for the day in terms of productivity, work and business and all that. So now you can go home and kind of, you know, be with your family. And then I think, one final tip, in terms of, you know, being okay with making yourself a priority, you know, ask for help. Like, you know, there are things that we want to do. There are things that, you know, we feel like we need to, you know, get to as well. And it is hard to sometimes to get to it because we have so much other things to do. But if you have like a, you know, a partner, you know, boyfriend, spouse, whatever it is, if you have some friends, whoever your support system is, if you need help, then I don't think that they're going to fault you necessarily for asking for help. Like, again, we're spread so thin a lot of times. I think it's okay for you to understand, again, mindset, realize and understand that you are not going to be able to do everything all the time. And perfection is something that, you know, we're constantly chasing that we're never going to reach.
Right.
Right. So, you know, as much as we try to be super mom, you know, we can do our best to be super mom, but we're going to need some help every now and then. So we do the best we can, again, with what we have. And then if we start feeling overwhelmed, that's not a feeling that we have to feel like we don't have to feel overwhelmed and we don't need to feel burned out. Like if you start feeling that way, then ask for help, ask your support system to help you. Like if you know, like today, you're not going to be able to, you know, get to your kid's basketball game on time. You'll be there, but you might be like 10, 15 minutes late. See if somebody can drop them off and then you'll get there as soon as you can, because you have, you know, there's something else going on. You got busy doing something else. If you're at work, you know, if you're able to delegate some things, you know, instead of you trying to do everything at work, if you're able to delegate some things at work, or if you can talk to your bosses about, you know, maybe getting to some things a little later, or maybe reducing your workload, because right now, you know, you need to focus on your mental health. Because at this point, I'm overwhelmed, I'm getting stressed, I feel anxiety, like I can't do everything all the time.
Right.
Right. So it's like if you talk to, again, your support system, your spouse, whoever it is, your employer at work, if you talk to them about, okay, look, I need to do something a little bit different because I'm starting to get burnt out. I think a lot of times people are today, I feel like people are a little bit more understanding of, you know, their employees or people's mental health in general. So I think it's a little bit easier for us to be okay asking for, like, I need a little help here. Like I'm kind of at my wit's end. And I don't, again, that's not a feeling that we should be okay feeling. Like, again, we put that on ourselves a lot of times. We feel like we have to do it all perfectly. And again, that's a, you know, a feeling that we're never going to attain the perfect, you know, the perfection of it. So it's like understanding that you do your best, you know, with what you have, you know, you make yourself a priority, but again, it has, you know, planning has a lot to do with it, you know, setting boundaries in terms of work, you know, your working hours, things like that. So I think it can definitely be done. It's just, you know, finding that balance and, you know, and wanting to make yourself a priority. You know, understanding that that's okay. Like, you know, we're okay. Like, we're deserving of it too. We're deserving of happiness. We're deserving of, you know, feeling fulfilled. Like, it's okay for us to make ourselves. It doesn't mean that you make ourselves a priority and then everything else like gets pushed in the back burner. Like I said, you can, you know, do your best at, you know, doing it all. It's just, you don't have to do it all perfectly. Like, do the best you can, and, you know, then everybody's happy.
Right. Yeah. I think naturally as women, we're like, we have that habit of being the giver, the nurturer, and we always forget to keep that same energy for ourselves, which is so hilarious because we schedule and plan for everyone else and everything else, but cannot seem to get it together when it comes to scheduling and planning for ourselves.
Yeah.
So I always think that funny little tidbit. It's like, we schedule so much stuff. How are we scheduling in for ourselves?
Right.
But before we go, I want to leave with a fun little question. I just like to ask my guests just if they have like a little quote or today a question of the day. So today's question is, what's some advice you would give or something you would tell your younger self today?
Ooh, that's a good question. So I would tell my younger self to do what you need to do to be happy, right? So don't worry about what other people, the expectations of you, what other people think of you. You need to live your authentic self, be okay with who you are, your goofiness, your, you know, your whatever, like your drive, your ambition to be an entrepreneur. Because I never wanted to be an entrepreneur necessarily because, again, it wasn't ingrained in me. Like that was,
right.
Again, you work at a company for so many years and that's it. So I would tell myself to, you know, identify what makes you happy and basically go for it. Like whatever that looks like to you, you know, go for it, not worrying about what other people have to say or what they think about you.
That's awesome. Well, Lanisha, thank you so much for being on the show today and giving us all this great insight. I really enjoyed listening and talking to you. And I'm sure the listeners have got so much great advice that they've written down. I hope everyone's writing down all the tips and tricks because we need to remember we're scheduling for everyone else. We need to schedule something for ourselves. Well, definitely make you a priority because you can't fill other people's cups if yours is empty. So
absolutely.
Thank you again for coming on and sharing your wisdom with everyone. And before we go today, why don't we let everyone know where they can find you on social media to get more information, more tips, possibly work with you in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. People can find me. So on Instagram, it's Periscope Coaching. On Facebook, it's Periscope LC for Life Coaching. So Periscope LC for Facebook. And then my website is periscopelife.com.
Okay, awesome. And I will make sure I link all of Lanisha's information in the show notes so everyone can check her out. And thank you again so much, Lanisha. This has been so fun. And I hope to see you again soon. Hopefully we can have like a catch up another time on the podcast to see like what's been going on and how life coaching has been going. But thank you again so much. And a great rest of your week.
Thank you. You too. Thank you. I just want to say again, thank you so much for having me on. It was a pleasure talking with you and I've enjoyed this a lot.
After everything the world has been through lately, we know being alone with your thoughts can be an isolating feeling, especially the stay-at-home parent gang. Sorry, but your dog isn't interested in giving you life advice. But as someone who has seen the extreme depths of depression, postpartum depression, anxiety, and stress myself, it can and often will allow those intrusive thoughts and negativity to consume you. After going through an extremely tough year and dealing with a miscarriage, today's sponsor, BetterHelp, definitely came to my rescue, and they're here to help you too. BetterHelp has customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't even have to leave your house or see anyone on camera if you don't want to. There's a broad range of expertise on BetterHelp, and with over 20,000 plus therapists in their network, it's so easy to find the right therapist for you. You just fill out a questionnaire to help assess your specific needs, and then you get matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. You schedule your secure video or phone sessions, and you can exchange unlimited messages with your therapist. I've used BetterHelp for over 3 years, and it was definitely helpful when I moved to a whole new state and knew absolutely no one. Those unlimited texts came in handy for sure. Because when I needed a new therapist but couldn't leave because of lockdown, BetterHelp was there. Everything you share is completely confidential, and you can request a new therapist at no additional charge anytime. So many people are already using BetterHelp that they are currently recruiting additional therapists in all 50 states. So join the 2 million plus people who have taken charge of their mental health with an experienced BetterHelp therapist. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/awkward. That's betterhelp.com/awkward. The link will be in the show notes. Mental health is so important and so are you. If you feel that you need help with more than just figuring out who you are, or you just need someone to talk to,
BetterHelp makes it easy to find a therapist that's right for you.
All right, y'all, that's it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. We had a great conversation, and I hope you got some great tips and advice on how to prioritize you. As always, thank you so much for listening to the podcast and your continued support. If you haven't already, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. You can even just leave 5 stars on Apple. You don't even have to type words if it's not your thing. It really helps me out with ranking, and I'll show up more on podcasting platforms so more listeners can find me. Let me know you're listening and you love it. Share the love by taking a screenshot of today's episode or just copying the link, sharing and tagging me at The Awkward Mom Stage on Instagram or at Awkward Mom Stage on Twitter so others can find me as well. I'll reshare them and shout you out on the podcast as a thank you. If you'd like to donate to the show to help with behind the scenes, or you just want to buy this hot mess mama a coffee, you can do that as well with the support the show link in the show notes. If you're enjoying the show so far and you have topics you want me to cover or someone you think should be a guest on the show, send me a DM, an email, and let me know. Until next week, y'all, I hope you have a great Friday or whichever day you're listening to this. Always remember you're beautiful. Bye.
Thanks for joining me this week on the Awkward Mom Stage podcast. Make sure to visit our Instagram page at The Awkward Mom Stage, where you can follow and find information on next week's show, updates for the podcast, behind-the-scenes clips, and more. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast shows. While you're at it, if you're enjoying the show, I'd appreciate it so much if you rate the show on iTunes or share this podcast with a friend. Be sure to tune in next week for an all-new episode. I hope you have an awesome week. Always remember you're beautiful. Lola.